It's time for Sweet Home Cannabama, a show that'll answer all your questions, provide accurate information, and dispel the myths of CBD. You can participate and have your specific questions answered by emailing sweethomecannabama.com. And now for all things cannabis in Alabama, here's your host, Jennifer Boozer.
Welcome to the show, everybody. I'm Jennifer Boozer, your host and owner of Cannabama, the CBD store here in Mobile, Alabama. We're located in downtown at 558 St. Francis Street, next to Delta Bike Project and just a block up from Wenzel's, in the big orange stucco building. And our website is cannabama.com. And you can give us a call, too, if you would like to ask questions and you can't get down to the store. 251-255-5155. That's 251-255-5155. And give us a call anytime for any reason. You need to know a price on a project on a product. What we have, we're constantly getting new things, you know, and checking to see if our hot sellers are in. Because sometimes, you know, we have a rush. You never know. We do have some new edibles. Today is Munchie Monday every Monday. I don't know if I ever mentioned that on the show, but we have Munchie Monday every Monday. We have daily specials every day. So Tuesday is Topical Tuesday. Wednesday is Wash Up Wednesday, which is that's Bath and Body Products. And people always go, what's Wash Up Wednesday?
Bath bombs are awesome.
Bath bombs, yes. Soap, all that good stuff. And I'm working on a little project to get some custom-made soaps in the store very soon, hopefully, definitely before the holiday season. But we're working on our own stuff. I'm tired of picking and choosing from other people's stuff. We're in the process of slowly being able to make our own products. It's a lot involved in that. Anyway, so Wash Up Wednesday, Thirsty Thursday is coffee, tea, drinks, shots, drink additives, lean, whatever you can pour down the gullet. That's CBD, Delta 8, that kind of thing. And then, of course, everybody loves Flower Friday. And anything inhalable is 10% off. So each day of the week, those categories of products, edibles, topicals, bath products, drinks, and flower are 10% off every day from the very first time we opened Cannabama in 2018. And speaking of which, this month is our four-year anniversary. It's hard to believe Cannabama has been around for 4 years. Welcome to the show. Sergio's with me tonight.
Hello.
Oh, come on. You can do better than that.
Sorry, I'm just actually just reading over all this information. And like,
Yes, we do have a good show planned.
Well, we like to think so.
We nerd out over this stuff, you know, and I have met enough of the listeners. I met one last week at the courthouse. Who just absolutely made my day. I had to go to court and it was stressful and everything worked out well. But in the beginning I was nervous and I'm pacing around and she walked up to me to compliment me on my pink hair. And so I was like, and she just was really sweet. And she was shorter than me, if you can even believe that, because I'm 5'1", y'all. And she was a good 4'10", probably my mother's age. And when she found out that I owned Cannabama, she was, oh, I listened to you on the radio. So, Maddie, if you're listening, shout out to Maddie. She made my day. Whoop, whoop. And it was such a pleasure to meet her. And she said she listens to me every week. She tells everybody, hush, I got to drop what I'm doing. And I listen to Sweet Home Cannabama every Monday at 7. And she probably may be my biggest fan and was such a pleasure to meet. So I hope you're doing well, Maddie, and I hope you will come back to the store and see me again sometime soon. But she really made going to court a whole lot less scary, and because she was sitting inside the courtroom whenever I was waiting for my little turn to go up there, and I knew she was in the room, and I thought between my lawyer and her, I have two friends, you know, in the room. But anyway, that was great. But
just a side note, I'm looking at this picture, and I know y'all can't see this, but this picture with the cannabis leaf in his hand, it kind of looks like one of those fake weed leaves that you'd get on one of those lattices that you had.
Yes.
Like for some reason, it just like looks so fake. But
it's too green.
Yeah.
It's too green. It's too perfect.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, maybe a little Photoshop involved.
Hey, who knows? Who knows? Coloration's always a good
the
thing.
The color, well, there's no variation in the coloring and all that. Mm. Now, I've seen plenty of hemp leaves and pot leaves on actual plants, and they're almost
it's
never
too
uniform.
Perfect.
Yeah. Okay, so anyway, speaking of anniversaries, you know, it's our 4-year anniversary this month, and tonight I'm going to actually be meeting with my staff to plan something fun for the end of the month. So we established, you know, I got the name reservation and all at the end of July and my LLC set up, and we opened to the public August 27th. So that is a Saturday this year. And we're going to probably, now I have talked to Chef Tyler. I know I've told y'all that we set up the Alabama's first infused catering company called Cannabama and Company. And I think I'm going to set Tyler out on the sidewalk with a grill and maybe, you know how you can go to Sam's Club and Costco and get like little bites of food and try different dishes at different stations? I think we might do something like that and do some of our products that we're trying to develop, our marinades and spices and stuff that are infused, and let everybody get a little taste of everything that's to come. So they'll know if they're having a party and they want to hire us to cater, they'll have tasted our food. And I'm sure we'll get Sergio to scrounge up some live music for us and, I don't know, do some samples and some giveaways. But anyway, that'll be at the end of the month, and I'll tell you more about that once we get this staff meeting over with and plan that. So hopefully plan to come and at least give us a, you know, hug necks and get some free samples and, you know, come visit Cannabama on our birthday. So,
and if they're making hog necks, don't hug those necks unless you want to.
Right.
That's a little weird. You know.
Gross.
I mean, we're in the South, you know, you got to make them collard greens to get your hog.
Hog jaws.
Hog jaws.
No, oh my gosh, this is great. In high school, my best friend, her parents were so weird. I loved them. They were like Presbyterian pastor and criminal justice professor. And they were from South Dakota, which was made them totally weird. But the dad would hunt. And he would go to South Dakota and hunt like boar and stuff. And he would come in, and you never knew what was floating dead in the sink. Like squirrel carcasses, and it was
delicious.
A deer carcass. It was, one time I walked in and there was the most horrendous smell I've ever smelled in my life. And I'm like, holy crap, what is that? And she's like, oh, my dad's boiling a hog's head to make cheese. And I'm like, that was the nastiest smell. Because it was just like a giant skull boiling in a pot.
That's a taste of home right there.
That is disgusting. Anyway.
You know, it's amazing. People do some amazing things, create such fantastic products from like things that we could never imagine. Like,
right. Well, and that's sort of the theme of the show. Great segue, Sergio. I see what you're doing there. Tonight, we're going to just kind of have some fun. We're not really going to talk a whole lot about CBD or cannabis as medicine. We want to sort of shift our focus a little tonight. And I think we'll probably, there's enough material here that we probably need to do a part one and a part two. We'll see how it goes. But we want to talk about all the other uses for industrial hemp. And I think, Sergio, was this your idea or was it mine?
I'm pretty sure we went back and forth.
Yeah. So we've been, you know, there's so many cool articles and lists that you can find. And there's a lot of great information. And now that sort of the CBD craze seems to have peaked, you know, at first 94%, I think 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 94% of hemp being grown in the U.S. was being grown to make CBD oil.
Mm-hmm.
And very little was made for fiber, for food, for industrial purposes. And now it is shifting, and especially being part of the National Industrial Hemp Coalition, I see these hempcrete projects, hemp wood projects. You know, they're building, there's a guy in our group that just built a juice bar in, I think, San Antonio or somewhere. And it's, the building's made of hemp. And they did it as a project to teach the construction workers and the people, the engineers and designers, how to how to work and build with hemp.
And to put that into perspective, Vote Hemp, which is a which is kind of like they do like different types of estimates and talk about industrial hemp and everything. In 2016, they said that industrial hemp made about $688 million. Mm-hmm. In 2020, it boosted up to $4.4 billion.
Right.
Which is over a 900% increase. So right. Something's going on and more people are getting involved. So.
Right. All right. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk about some awesome uses for industrial hemp. Here with Sergio. Stay with us on Sweet Home Cannabama.
Welcome back to Sweet Home Cannabama. Now with all the information you want about CBD, here's your host, Jennifer Boozer.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. I'm Jennifer Boozer, your host and owner of Cannabama, the CBD store. Here with Sergio Rangel, my lovely co-host.
Oh, thank you.
who is making fun of me because the microphone stand kept jerking it away from my face right before I was supposed to talk. And I almost threw it across the room through the window. Anyway.
But then we wouldn't have a show, so she decided against it. And
right.
Now we're here.
Yes. So anyway, tonight we're going to deviate away from the medicinal side of the plant and talk about the industrial uses for the hemp plant because there are over 50,000 known industrial applications. We are obviously not going to do a complete list tonight.
Aw, dang it.
I haven't ever even seen the complete list because you start your head starts swimming after the first page or so.
Oh, yeah, I only wrote down like 17 things down here and my head's already kind of going,
right,
going
right.
Crazy.
So we went to some informational blogs and sort of tried to get a little guidance on making up a list of the biggest most well-known, and some of these, you know, we're going to mix in basically a list with some fun facts, and we're going to learn you something today.
And we're going to learn ourselves something, too.
That's right.
We're going to stumble together.
So Sergio has a list. Do you want to talk about, the first thing we're going to talk about is hemp fiber.
Yeah.
Used for clothing, fabric products. Give us that list that you have of different things that you can use hemp fiber for.
Oh, so mainly we were talking about before the show just the idea that hemp stalks and hemp seeds are completely different. Even though they come from the same plant, they can be used
right.
for completely different purposes.
Right.
So like the seeds can create like food additives and they can create like different types of oils, fuels, personal care products like we've always been talking about. Food,
right,
beer,
because
feed.
Seeds have no cannabinoid content, but it's entirely very nutritious and a great source for biofuel, great source of protein and food, and a great base for skincare products.
Mm-hmm. And then the hemp stalk, which is, you know, again, it's completely separate. Once you do the processes, the decortiating and the scrutching, as I've been looking at.
Let's butcher some words today.
Hey, it's cool. You know, the scrutching is like what I've been reading. It separates the impurities from raw material.
Mm-hmm.
So such as like seeds from raw cotton or the straw and woody stem from flax fibers.
Yeah.
So the hemp stalks themselves create so many different things based on the different processes they go through. So like fabric insulation, carpeting, paneling, cordage pulp, recycling additives, you know, and this all, of course, you're not going to be eating all this stuff, but some of what, you know, it creates, you can, like, again,
right.
from the hemp seeds, it's insane. Like, I mean, like, I could run out of breath talking about a lot of this stuff. I could probably take a breath and maybe not, but, you know, hey,
right.
What's the fun in that?
Right.
But
please don't stop breathing.
But you can give me some CBD oil, maybe. Yeah. We can heal. Hey, let's go all
maybe
around.
Maybe I could knock you in the head with a larger bottle of it. Okay, so clothing is our first category. I'm in here with a bunch of monkeys today. You hush, Phil. So hemp has been used for textiles since time immemorial, and samples of hemp fiber in China date back to 8,000 BC, okay? So, but it's definitely had a revival lately. We're seeing hemp fiber processing really starting to pick up. I know Alabama should be proud to be home to BastCorp, my good friends McMillan and Coleman up in Montgomery, who have one of the only fiber processing facilities in the country, certainly the only one in Alabama. And they're about to be helping make some name brand jeans out of hemp. So that's really cool. But the word canvas is rooted in the Arabic word for cannabis and the Latin word for hemp. And so it sounds a lot like cannabis, canvas, but they use these fibers to make canvas ship sails so that it was stronger than cotton or whatever else you might use to make, and they didn't have synthetics back then. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when you're months at sea and there's sun and salt water and hurricane force winds and all that, they didn't have Scotch Guard. And these suckers were hand stitched. They were hand loomed. You know, we're definitely butchering terminology today. But however they, you know, on those old movies where they're taking these threads and they're making it into like yarn and stuff. And then they make the fabric, they make fabric out of it, and then you make products out of the fabric.
Mm-hmm.
You and make clothing, you make pillows, you make sheets and curtains and carpet fibers and, you know, canvas for industrial purposes, rope. World War II was, it's funny because they out-taxed it with the Marijuana Tax Act in 1937. But then in the 40s, when we were in the midst of World War II, they brought back hemp farming and processing to make rope, to make uniforms, to make all sorts of stuff in factories to help win the war.
It's called a program called Hemp for Victory.
Yes, Hemp for Victory. Go and look that up. You can watch a video and everything.
Yeah, and they're actually one of the big reasons why America didn't do imports with Japan, because some of Japan's products were made from hemp because it was illegal. That's why they made
Well, that applies today. We could import so much less.
Mm-hmm.
If we just grow our own hemp, and we wouldn't need to import oil. I mean, if Henry Ford can make biofuel in 1940, it was already done. You guys have no excuse.
Well, and you were talking about the strength and durability of hemp with sails and everything. Levi Strauss in the 1800s made pants from hemp and with riveted up like buttons and stuff because it was stronger. So they could put gold for the miners in their pockets and carry it. And, they were dyed blue, of course, to keep from staining and all that. But, like, I mean, it's insanely strong. They last for a long time. And, like, I mean, you know people that wear pants for days on end. But imagine,
I never wear my jeans only once.
And imagine if they're hemp. I mean, so how much longer they could actually survive.
Right. And, like, with T-shirts, I've had hemp T-shirts. When you wash them, they get softer every time.
Mm-hmm.
And they hold their shape, they hold their color, and they're fantastic. Plus, the fabric is antibacterial.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this article another one of the articles that we're referencing is from a company called Wama Underwear, and they produce hemp underwear. And it talks about how it's antibacterial. One of the fun facts is hemp is naturally antibacterial, and it talks a little bit about one of the main reasons that they're such a fan is it's naturally sustainable and it's antibacterial. And the blog says, I know it sounds a little gross, but think about what your undies do for you, and then imagine the bacteria party down there. With breathable weed underwear.
Do I want to know?
You don't have to worry. This is one of those things we do not speak of, but everybody knows.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about bacteria buildup or smell. And it says that even thong underwear, you could spend all day in a hemp thong and not have issues. And
thongs go where no
one has gone before. Yeah, so
Not to be taken by the trademark.
This company makes men's boxers, briefs, women's underwear, bras, that kind of thing. So, but it's interesting. It's a perfect material for, you know, underwear. That's genius, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Your underwear and especially for women, your underwear and your bra are the shell before the outfit, you know.
Yesterday
I was out in a field on Old Pascagoula, and our church did this homeless outreach thing, and we brought food out there, and instead of having our monthly potluck dinner together, we took it all out there and had lunch and did an outreach thing, gave backpacks and hygiene supplies and stuff, and it was great. But I sweated my brains out And it's like you want to go home, take off your bra and underwear and wring them out because you're just so gross and sweaty. And you're like, just burn it. Just burn it.
And if you did, it'd be healthy for the environment.
Exactly.
Yeah. We're healing the ozone layer here, guys.
I mean, anyway,
potentially.
Yes. A smaller carbon footprint, for show. Plus, like cotton. I know we've talked about this before. The alternative is cotton and synthetics. But synthetics are made from plastic, which can be made from hemp. I digress. You know, like, there's a never-ending application for hemp for anything from cotton, wood, or petroleum, including plastics.
Mm-hmm.
It can be made from hemp. Besides the medicinals and the food and all that kind of stuff. I just totally lost my train of thought.
Well, again, perspective on that. We were talking about the Levi jeans a second ago.
Right.
For one pair of jeans, it takes about 900 gallons of water.
Oh,
but
yes.
Then
but
then for hemp, it's 30% less to actually make.
So now I've found the train track.
Go ahead.
My point was cotton accounts for about 3% of the world's crops.
Mm-hmm.
But it utilizes... The growing of it utilizes 16% of the world's pesticides. So when you have to go out into a field in hazmat suits and oxygen tank gas masks and spray a field and then you can't walk out there for a week and then you make fabric out of it and just lay it on your skin and sweat... the first time I heard that, I wanted to strip right where I was in the middle of a Las Vegas convention hall. Ew.
That makes me think of that episode of King of the Hill where Dale's like spraying all these pesticides on Hank's lawn. He's like, you might want to stay away from this. And he's like, he has no mask. He's smoking a cigarette and stuff. And he's telling Hank to leave. Like,
yeah.
This stuff is poisonous for you.
Yeah.
All right.
So Betty Ross, who was the woman who made the first American flags, the very first version of the American flag was made with hemp fibers.
Mm-hmm.
The Declaration of Independence.
She was token. She was token sitting back.
Oh, had to
that
have
flag.
Been. That's a lot of fine work, you know? Like, they didn't have a Sanger sewing machine.
No, they didn't. She was the
They might
the
have had one of them
spinster.
Things like on Rumpelstiltskin where you prick your finger and...
Yeah, the spinning wheel.
Yeah.
Yeah, thread spinner, yeah.
But Van Gogh, this is the cool thing I learned today. Van Gogh used to paint on hemp paper. So how cool is that?
He should have been token. He would have had an ear.
Right. I don't think he was token because he cut his own ear.
No,
yeah, you're right. He was, kookadoo.
Kookadoo.
Anyway, when we come back, we're going to talk about food. We're going to talk about biofuel. We're going to talk about plastic and probably butcher some more words. Stay with us.
Welcome back to Sweet Home Canabama. Now with all the information you want about CBD, here's your host, Jennifer Boozer.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. Tonight we're talking about the industrial applications of hemp.
I'm getting excited.
I know. Well, there's like I said, I think we may end up with a part two because we've got so much to talk about. The second big category I want to talk about is food. About one-third of hemp seed's weight comes from hemp oil, and we've discussed this. They're both it's highly nutritious, and it contains a perfect ratio of omega 3, 6, and 9. But it has zero cannabinoid content. Until it's planted in the ground, no CBD, CBG, none of that. The whole seed is about 25% protein. It's a great source of calcium and iron. Like I said, those omega 3s, it's better than. Something like walnuts, and when you have extracted oil, hemp seed oil is better for you as far as omega fatty acids than even cod liver oil. And I learned that in the hair salon. A lot of hairdressers, when your hair starts falling out because the follicle becomes weak and loses its elasticity, and it can't keep a good tight grip on the hair shaft, so it falls out. Well, a lot of hairdressers will tell you to take cod liver oil, fish oil for that because of the omega-3 and 6. And I'm here to tell you that hemp seed oil has a better ratio than even that and will help with that problem. And I've even seen guys have a bald spot on the top, just barely, and it grow back hair. Yes, like a yarmulke. Yeah. And it grow back hair. I even saw a guy who's older gentleman, and he had white chest hair. And his chest hair started growing in black again.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So it's like healing the spots.
Well, because he was taking CBD oil with the hemp seed oil base. So he was getting that hair nutrition and bone nutrition. But the CBD was actually helping balance his hormones.
Mm.
So that helps too. And regulate the organ function and immune system. So he was healthier overall. And his body was returning to a state of balance. And it was reverse aging him a little bit, which
That's
was pretty
cool.
Yeah, and he was an older guy. Like, he wasn't young. Like, you know, my ex-husband is 46 and has completely white hair. Well, mostly. It's white and gray.
Maybe it's Maybelline.
But and his dad, yeah, but he has a baby face. It's very confusing. He looks, you know, 40 in the face, and his hair says, I'm 55.
Mm.
But you know, he had gray hair when we met when he was 26. My father-in-law had solid white hair, like solid white, paper mm-hmm. white hair at 45. You know, and so it definitely is. This guy was older; like he had white hair for a long time, and his chest hairs were starting to grow back in black, and he was like showing them off.
He started wearing those 70s V-necks again, starting to fly the flies and stuff like.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody.
No, he was adorable, but he was so proud. He had like five black chest hairs again, and he was like, "Yeah,
I'm going through midlife puberty." Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, but he was easily in his late 60s.
That's awesome, though. That's very cool.
But anyway, it's very nutritious for the human body, and you can, of course, you know, we've talked about using the cannabinoid contents and stuff like that from the plant to make food supplements from the oils and the edibles that also have medicinal qualities to all sorts of things. I mean, you can make, you know, fake burgers and stuff, you know.
Yes, and this in these articles as well, there's
milk
a spot
too,
here.
Hemp milk.
Yeah, well, there was a part in this article that we pointed out earlier where it says that hemp could solve world hunger. We don't know exactly how completely accurate that is, but through everything that Jennifer's talking about, at least it could make a dent in it.
Right. Like, well, if you could replace, think about this, especially in the day of food shortages, you know. Like, I go to the store and I normally buy chicken thighs for this and chicken breasts for this and, you know, different types. And sometimes they just don't have a whole category of food now.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can imagine, just think about storage. Think about not needing refrigeration. Think about the mass of food that you could carry on your person in the form of seeds that has as much protein as a serving of meat.
Yeah.
You know, hemp hearts. And they're yummy. They literally are as small or smaller than sesame seeds. It's the inside. Once you break the hull open, it's this soft, nutty, little sesame seed-looking hemp heart.
Mm-hmm.
And I've used them in cookies. I've used them to I've done those pretzel logs you dip in chocolate and roll them in that. But you can put it in on salad. You can mix it into, you know, you could throw it on top of anything. You could throw it in your smoothie, like with flaxseed oil. I mean, with flaxseed and grind it up and put it in a smoothie. And I think 2 tablespoons is equal to a whole serving of chicken.
I now want all of that.
Right. I know.
It
I'm hungry too.
It sounds delicious. Well, as she's talking about food, we were talking about books essentially before we started again, and now that she's talking about food, I'm now so hungry that I don't know if I'm going to be able to talk about books. But no, we were just talking about like Benjamin Franklin owning the first paper mill, that, you know, the first hemp paper mill.
Right, and that's our number 3 categories, yeah. Paper. So hemp has been used for paper for at least 2,000 years. Even though now it only accounts for 0.05% of world paper production.
That's crazy because it's so right? much more profitable than using lumber and
well, and it I mean, I've come from a paper mill town in Louisiana, and the rate of cancer there is so high.
Yeah.
And there's this smell, and I'm sorry for you people who are more mature than me, but about 20 miles away, when you're coming into town from and you've been gone for a while like us, it smells like broccoli steaming slash fart. I mean, mm-hmm. It is so gross.
There's so many places that smell
and,
like
and
that,
too. And it's like, it gets you in the back of the throat like, ooh, I'm going to throw up. That's so strong.
You'd ride in the car, you look around at see if anybody else is in here that like, did you fart in here? Yeah. Just like, no, that's outside. Don't roll down the windows.
Right. My ex-husband eats steamed broccoli all the time. And the other day, I went to go pick up Bella and get her stuff. And knocked on the door. He opened the door with a big grin on his face. And I was like, what in the world? Because he was steaming a huge thing of broccoli, and it almost knocked me down.
I'm not going to lie. I thought you were going to see crop dusted you while eating like steamed broccoli. Just like take this. Like.
No. No, probably in the beginning of the divorce part, he probably would have maybe considered. No, he wouldn't do that. No, we're good now. We're good. We're friends. We're co-parenting well. But anyway, that smell of steaming broccoli is always like, I always know it everywhere, but it's like that, and it's paper mill chemicals, and the water is yellow, and it's not good. There's a lot of kids with cancer.
And we'll talk about part two, how cannabis and mushrooms can heal those toxic materials. Anyways.
So even though hemp is far more quickly renewable, okay, obviously you can plant an acre of hemp. It's going to yield four times more paper making ability and material than an acre of trees, and the trees will take 20 years or more even to grow, where a hemp goes from seed to fruition completely mature in 120 days. So you think about that. Every 4 months, you shut up. Y'all shut up, too. I know y'all are laughing at me.
I can't do it. It's all right.
I've already told y'all I can't add. Anyway, every 4 months, three times a year, you can have a fresh new crop, especially if you're doing indoor, if you're growing down here in the South. You know, you can't do that in states up north where, you know, there's a lot of snow and stuff. You got to do indoor greenhouse. Mm-hmm. But down here, I mean, you know, you got three different rotations of crop. That's a lot of sustainability, and in 1 acre of hemp can yield 300 gallons of oil.
Well, I actually do have some numbers up here from the USDA.
Go ahead.
Where it talks about 1 acre of hemp can average a yield of 700 pounds of grain, which can be pressed into 22 gallons of oil and 530 pounds of meal. The same acre will also produce an average of 5,300 pounds of straw, which can be transformed into 1,300 pounds of fiber, approximately.
So that's a lot.
Yeah, what you're talking about, like,
because you're making so many different things out of 1 acre,
and that's just 1 acre. Like, right. Out of like the hundreds of acres that,
and there are different genuses of the plant that you wouldn't plant the same two plants. You wouldn't plant the same plant if you're growing for fiber as you would for CBD or for food. It's different varieties. As Ray French taught us a couple weeks ago, they're not strains is a weed world word.
Mm-hmm. It's weed world.
The botany term is variety.
Yeah.
The correct term, the educated term is variety.
And we're bringing variety to you today.
Yes, we are. A small number of relatively old age of processing equipment for hemp paper. It helps pulp end up being several times more expensive than wood pulp. So because it's not being made and there aren't very many processing facilities, it is still more expensive than wood pulp. However, that could change quickly.
Mm-hmm.
That could change quickly. So we said the Declaration of Independence was written on hemp paper. Van Gogh painted on hemp paper.
Thomas Paine's Common Sense for that pamphlets that were about the British was written on hemp paper.
Mark Twain's works, all of Mark Twain's works, and the King James Bible.
Oh, 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 praise.
And
praise
Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah, Lewis Carroll's Alice in Wonderland.
All written on hemp paper. I would do a lot of crazy things to score one of those original works.
And it's amazing to think that, like, because it doesn't yellow, like the Founding Fathers knew it wouldn't. Like,
yes.
Can you imagine all those book collections that you have right now that are, the binding is going crazy and bending,
right.
The paper's yellowing
cracking
and stuff.
And
if you had hemp on those papers, then hey, guess what? You could last at least 250 years after the apocalypse and it'll
yellow.
Still be around.
Tree paper turns yellow because of the chemical process that DuPont brothers came up with. That's where the term yellow journalism comes in. They would make, William Randolph Hearst owned all the newspaper syndicates, but he was a U.S. senator. He wanted to make paper out of all of his trees. The DuPont brothers were his buddies. They created a chemical process, and it would turn the newspapers yellow after time, which was why yellow journalism refers to the sensationalism of the propaganda.
Mm-hmm.
And it would turn yellow and brittle and crack, but hemp paper lasts forever and ever.
Mm, and this is what we've been talking
yeah.
about.
We'll be back in just a few minutes with some more industrial hemp applications.
Welcome back to Sweet Home Cannabama. Now with all the information you want about CBD, here's your host, Jennifer Boozer.
Welcome back, everybody. Tonight's episode of Sweet Home Cannabama, we're talking about all of the different industrial applications of hemp instead of just talking about CBD and medicine. We've talked about clothing, we've talked about food, and we've talked about fiber. One more thing about fiber I want to mention is that hemp, they say hemp is stronger than steel. It says, okay, you really can't compare a stalk of hemp to a steel pipe, but when you use hemp plant fibers to create a material similar to steel, it's 1,000% stronger. Okay, you can break down hemp cellulose, which is the plant fibers, create a liquid, and then mold it into a solid. And when you compare that to solid steel, using something called tensile strength, that's how much pressure something can take before it breaks, hemp is far stronger. And to that, you know, we also want to add plastics. Anything that can be made from petroleum can be made from, which plastic is made from petroleum product. And it is a viable feedstock for plastics production. And they also reference that Henry Ford in 1941, Henry Ford made a car out of hemp. And to validate its strength, he took a sledgehammer to it. Not only was it 10 times stronger than a traditional car. Now remember, 1941, people. I mean, nearly 100 years ago.
How archaic.
But it also weighed 300 pounds less and had 25% better fuel efficiency. Who couldn't use a little fuel efficiency right now?
Mm-hmm.
And so although he created the hemp car in 1949, it was never manufactured. But that was just 1941. Did I say 49?
I thought you said the 40s.
Okay. So 1941, this is just 4 years after the Marijuana Tax Act that basically made the farmers around the country that were farming this hemp have to abandon their crops. But it is at the beginning of World War II.
Mm-hmm.
So that's probably the only reason it was even available, and he took advantage of it. I'm just, you know, spitballing here, but that makes sense. So thanks to the 2018 Farm Bill supporting industrial hemp, the idea has reemerged, and many of the biggest car companies are using hemp in the manufacturing process, including BMW. They make the inside door panels from hemp fiber, Mercedes, Audi, and Volkswagen. Now, those are all foreign-made cars. Go figure. And there's even an airplane made of hemp. I actually shared a video on Facebook the other day, and the guy was flying his hemp plane. He made an entire hemp with, like, the side panels and all were made from hemp. And I think it even ran on biofuel.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I've said a lot about this, you know, before about biofuel. If Henry Ford can do it and it's more efficient in the 1940s, then what was the last 80 years of war for?
Well, I mean, you think about the idea that why cannabis was called marijuana and, you know, the fear that it instilled in Americans from immigrating
of
Mexicans
course.
And stuff. But, you know, like, we get to the World War II, and then you have an influx of immigrants from Mexico coming back to help in fighting the war efforts.
Right.
And then again,
you have to look too at the beginnings of companies like Bayer Aspirin. Mm-hmm. Aspirin was invented right around the time of the Marijuana Tax Act, mm-hmm. when all of 80% of the medicine on the market was cannabis based in this country. You know, when did Exxon start? You know, when did America's dependency on fuel start? Well, of course, it started with the automobiles that ran on them. So around this time, all these industries that are now under great threat from hemp, those were the burgeoning beginning days of lots of enemies. You know, big pharma, yeah. big oil, the DuPont chemical brothers with their processing for wood pulp paper, mm-hmm. and then greedy people like William Randolph Hearst and the Rockefellers and, you know, all those people. Please go Google the history of hemp. It is so fascinating.
Well, and you're also talking about all these different products that are also damaging the water, damaging the soil.
Right.
And what's cool about hemp is the fact that it enriches the soil back to, you know, what it needs
right.
to actually grow, taking away the heavy metals, the cadmium, all the toxins that are in the ground through phytoremediation.
Right.
And so it's pretty exciting to think that, you know, an area that was once contaminated from like a power plant or something like that could be utilized.
Right, like Chernobyl. They use hemp at the site of Chernobyl. And if you don't know what Chernobyl is, go watch the show on HBO. It's very accurate. It's called Chernobyl. It's crazy. This nuclear reactor just went nuts and
they kept telling everybody it was okay. Nothing's wrong.
Yeah, nothing's wrong. And people were skin was melting off their bodies.
Yeah.
And generations later, the children that were products of the survivors were having, you know, they were having tumor growths and, you know, I mean, people joke around it, you know, being double heads and three legs or six legs and, you know, just all sorts of abnormalities from the mm-hmm. radiation exposure. And the ones that were there on the ground, I mean, their skin melted off their bones. It was horrible.
Mm-hmm.
And that happened like 40 years ago, and they're still using hemp being planted around the site. And it's a couple mile radius where you cannot go. And the wildlife is contaminated. Mm-hmm. The soil's contaminated, everything. And they plant hemp in the soil. And by the process of phytoremediation, which basically means the roots are like straws that go into the ground and suck out whatever's in that soil, whether it's good nutrition or radiation or heavy metals and toxins, you know, fertilizers, pesticides, and that becomes part of the chemical makeup of the plant. That's why we stress so hard about products. You can't just buy weed anywhere and think you're safe.
And look up the name Ilya Raskin. He's the guy that was on the team that did the Chernobyl experiment.
Mm-hmm.
And that was done through, I think it was the IASA in Russia and like around the area to fund that. But technically, there isn't any like full like information that says how well it worked. But through that actual information, Italy is using the same products to essentially do what we were just talking about, like replenish the soil power plants and other
remediation
chemical companies.
Is to restore something to its original state,
mm-hmm.
and you can use lots of things for that. And hemp is, like I say, it's a very well known cannabis, sucks things out of the soil. That's why it's so nutritious when it's planted in clean, good soil. It's so nutritious, and it doesn't require fertilizer, pesticides. It doesn't require anything like that. It doesn't require Miracle-Gro, and you don't want it if it does
have it. No, you don't want it.
You know, that'll kill you, because if you were to smoke the flower, you're freebasing whatever those chemicals are. And if you're directly putting, if they're taking that out of soil and directly putting it into your body, I mean, yeah, that's crazy. Mm-hmm. You're inhaling or ingesting some crazy toxic chemicals.
And again, we're talking about chemicals too that are unsustainable. Like right. they have to be created by other products created. That will eventually run out. But cannabis itself is so sustainable that, again, you know, it takes what, the 90 to 130 days to really cultivate it. So about 3 months, and then again, you know, the percentage of how much more you can create from cannabis versus what you can from all these other products that are essentially right. dying and going away, and one day will.
Right. This says that it's got a fast growing rate. Obviously, we know 120 days. You could put up to 250 to 400 plants per square meter, each up to 15 feet tall. And it shows a good potential at cleaning up land contaminated with fly ash, sewage sludge, and other heavy metals through phytoremediation.
Mm-hmm.
So it just fascinates me, because if it works and they're using this to clean up places like Chernobyl, you'll be able to re-inhabit a place that, you know, no one thought would ever be, you'd ever be able to
set foot down
there
the time, yeah. Cut down the time of right. the ability that people say, hey, you can't go there. Oh, well, now let's replenish the soil and now take that 20,000 years or right. however long it was to be able to enter Chernobyl and, you know, cut it in half, possibly. Who knows? We don't know.
Right.
But there's so many possibilities of what cannabis can do that it's irresponsible of us to not to acknowledge or
right.
somehow implement the possibilities of what it can do and to actually help push and better
right.
our communities.
Well, you can make biodiesel much like you do with vegetable oil, you know, except it's not been used for food, you know. It's been processed specifically for that. As cellulosic ethanol technology becomes more viable, you know, we should be able to stop depending so much on petroleum-based gasoline. Guys, we have so many more things we could talk about. Thank you for being with us tonight. We hope
you
learned something new, cool, something you hadn't heard before.
I did.
And we're going to continue to give you the information that you need. Stay with us next week. We'll be back on Sweet Home Cannabama. Good night. Oh, yeah. And Galactic 8 is going to be in the stores on Fridays from 3 to 6 for the time being. We're going to do free samples and some product giveaways, and you'll get to meet with the guys from Galactic 8.
Ooh,
so come
yeah.
see us downtown, 558 St. Francis Street. Good night.